You guys can have a seat. It is so good to be with all of you. Once again, hope you all had an incredible Thanksgiving. And I don't think any of you raised your hands, but I do know I've met some of you already. Some of you are visiting from out of town. And so we're just so grateful you're with us. Thanks for choosing to spend your time in San Diego at church. What a gift. If you never met, my name's Derek. I serve here as the lead pastor. And if you're new in the last 2 weeks, then we're just meeting again. Because our family has been gone for the last 2 weeks, and we've missed you guys. It's always so, so good to come back. 2 weeks ago, we were in the desert doing one of our favorite things ever. We were on our San Diego Fire desert trip, which is just such an incredible time for our family. We've been doing it since the kids were born, and we love it, we love it, we love it. Normally, we actually leave Saturday night to get back in time for church on Sunday. But something we learned this year during our sabbatical, after we had 3 months off, was that you're fine without us. So we were like, you know what? We're going to just stay in the desert and enjoy the time there. And then last weekend, we were out in Arkansas for my father's memorial service. And that was a really sweet time for our family. The first time we've all been out there together. And it was a special time to be able to lead and pastor my family through saying goodbye to my father, which has all sorts of different dynamics related to that. But, you know, it was very interesting meeting some family I'd never met an aunt and an uncle and their families that, to be honest, I couldn't name before that weekend. And to my surprise, they were lovely. And they were just, it was really, really neat to spend time with them and all of that. But, you know, it's interesting when you reflect and think about, like, the end of something. Because depending on what it's the end of will dictate what that experience is like, right? It's amazing how sometimes marking the end of something can be so different one thing to another, right? Like, when you're marking the end of the life of someone you love, or the end of a relationship, or the end of a great season, it's so hard. And it's filled with all sorts of grief and loss and emotions and regrets and doubts and all sorts of things like that. But then in the same breath, sometimes you mark the end of something, it's full of life-giving celebration and sometimes relaxation, right? Like if it's the end of the marathon you've been training for, that's a good day. Right, you cross the finish line and you're so excited you made it, that you're alive and you can eat whatever you want, right? Or sometimes if you're celebrating the end of like a special season or the end of, anyone like celebrate the end of their education journey, you know, graduation, like an amazing thing to celebrate and you're so excited, you throw the hat in the air and you think you're done learning and then you realize that's not true. But I think something that we just celebrated the end of is always exciting because, you know, the end always leads to new beginnings. And so we just celebrated the official end of not Christmas season, right, which is Thanksgiving dinner, if you didn't know. And then it's Christmas season. Are you with me? I don't think some of you are because some of you love that Christmas stuff is being sold in August. Can you just out yourself here? Who sets their Christmas stuff up before Halloween? Sinners. Who else? Okay, okay. Who sets their Christmas stuff up between Halloween and Thanksgiving? Okay. Who has a hard and fast rule? You cannot think about Christmas, play a Christmas song, or set up for Christmas until after Thanksgiving. We got some Christians in the house. I love it. I'm only joking. You can still love Jesus and celebrate his coming way early. But, you know, we have this kind of this newer tradition as a family. We spent the last week camping at the beach with some dear friends, and our family joined us, and we had an amazing time camping at the beach. And it's becoming my favorite way to do Thanksgiving. We do turkeys on Weber barbecues, and it's just amazing time, and the weather this week was insanely awesome. But one of my favorite things is kind of the people that we're with, they're like religious about you can't think about Christmas or do anything Christmas until Thanksgiving dinner. But it's hilarious because as soon as the last piece of turkey goes down your throat, the movie Elf comes on. We set up a big screen, and it's like officially Christmas, right? And so that's like, that's one of those awesome endings, right? Ending of not Christmas season, right? If you're like my kids, it's like there's Christmas season, and then the rest of the year's not Christmas season. And we love celebrating Christmas and bringing that in. And so we're on the verge of that, right? In fact, today, right after church, you're all welcome to stick around and help. We're going to deck the halls. It's one of our favorite like church family traditions. We'll, this place, by the end of, by 12:30, this place will look like Christmas. And we're inviting you to come and participate with us in that. But really, before that, what I really want to talk about this morning is marking the end of something very significant for us as a church. This is the first year. Year, I'm realizing, is like a relative term, right? Because we have like the calendar year, we have our fiscal year. If you celebrate your birthdays, that's like a new year for you. If you're married, you know, your anniversary is like a new year of marriage. So we kind of built in throughout the fabric of our calendar with all these fresh starts, which is kind of neat. And we have the same thing in terms of our liturgical year. So if you've been journeying with us for the last year, you'll know that we started observing the church, historic church liturgical calendar this year for the first time in its entirety as a church for us. And, you know, it's not a real deep part of our faith tradition, but it is a significant part of a vast array of Christian tradition across the world for the last 2,000 years. And so this was kind of the first time we dipped our beak into this tradition, and we used this book, Common Prayer, as our guide throughout that. And if you've been journeying along with us, you know that you're like in the back of the book, because the Christian calendar, the liturgical calendar, starts with Advent, which we're going to start and kick off next Sunday. So this time last year, we were preparing to do our first ever year through Common Prayer and through some of the liturgical traditions and even the liturgy we just read. I mean, that's kind of a newer experience for us as a church, to worship in some old but new to us kind of ways. And so today, we're celebrating. We did it. Like, you can clap. Like, we did it. And I know for some of you who are holier than me, you did not miss a day of this reading, right? Now, I'll be honest, I missed a couple days. I caught up, but I missed a few. I didn't read them the actual day of, but I did my best. And, you know, I kind of cheated because we were preaching from the text. And so, you know, if you're on the hook to preach, you got to read and learn and all of that. So we use this as a guide to help us dig into some deeper roots into our Christian tradition. And so we're celebrating the end of that today, and we're preparing to start afresh next Sunday with Advent. And traditionally, what today is called, you know, what you'll notice if you went through Common Prayer with us, that there's all sorts of feasts and celebrations and names of things you've never heard of before. Today, traditionally, is called Christ the King Sunday. Christ the King Sunday. And that's what I kind of want to focus on today as we also rewind and look back over our liturgical year and as we prepare to step into a new one. So today's called Christ the King Sunday. And it is really rooted in this idea, and what we hoped happened, whether you daily went through Common Prayer or you just showed up some intermittent Sundays throughout the year, is that you realize that the entirety of the Scriptures point to Jesus Christ the King. Christ the King Sunday. That the entirety of the Scriptures are about Jesus himself. In fact, we say it like this here at Makers Church, that Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. And that all of the Scriptures is a unified narrative with Jesus at the center. And the entire story arc of the Scriptures finds its fulfillment and meaning in Jesus Christ. We see this kind of in a few of the pieces of Scriptures that kind of point to this reality or this idea. For example, John chapter 1. This is where we get this idea that Jesus himself is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and the only Son, whom came the Father, full of grace and truth. Isn't it a beautiful, poetic telling of who Jesus is himself? You know, it makes you think back if you journeyed with us in the Advent story through Common Prayer. You also realize there's a parallel text in the Old Testament that you're kind of reading and looking at together, and you realize that Jesus is the Word of God. He was God. He was with God in the beginning. And then you hear about the Spirit of God hovering over the waters in the beginning of the creation of the world. And you realize that when God creates, he says, we. And he's talking about himself, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. And we see this beautiful telling of it. In Colossians 1, chapter 1, verse 15, it says, the Son is the image of the invisible God. You ever been so frustrated that you can't see God? But then the scriptures say, oh, no, we can see God in the person of Jesus, that the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Can I just get an amen? I mean, I love that telling of who Jesus is. And it's just a few scripture passages in Colossians. We see the gospel presented, the good news presented to us. And then lastly, before we further unpack this, we see this in the book of Revelation. I know Shalice last week was like, have fun with that. But we see this in Revelation 19, 16 about Jesus. This is about the second coming of Christ. Next week, we celebrate, we reflect on the first coming of Christ as an infant born to a virgin mother. But this is about the second coming, the return of Christ. It says, on his robe and on his thigh. And this is a tattoo. Like, this is the vision that we get. Like, he's tatted up, right? It says, on his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written: King of Kings and Lord of Lords. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is Christ the King Sunday, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm going to tangent here for a second because I can't not think about this story. It's hilarious. Remind me to come back and be serious in a moment. So I'm sitting in a firehouse. I work as a firefighter. Sitting in a firehouse, and there's these two guys, and they're both gingers, and they found each other on the fire department. They're like best friends, and they're both like redheaded gingers. They're the best dudes ever, and they're like best buds. And so one day, one guy comes into work, and he's wearing some shorts, and he sits down at the coffee table, and I see his shorts hike up a little bit, and I see a fresh tattoo. And I'm like, oh, dude, you got some new ink. He's like, yeah, yeah. I'm like, cool, let me see. And he pulls his shorts up, and he's got this cool, like, old ship, like an old English ship on his leg. I'm like, that's cool. Like, what's the significance? Like, why a ship? Like, were you in the Navy? Like, you're coming from a family that's sailors? Like, what's the significance? And just at the perfect time, his other ginger buddy walks in the room, and he goes, duh, friendships. And he pulls up his thigh, and they have matching ship tattoos. It was the silliest and kind of the cutest thing ever. Sorry, I couldn't say tattoo on the thigh without thinking about that story. Okay, back to the text. Christ the King Sunday. So here's the issue that I really want to press into as we reflect on Christ the King this Sunday. Is oftentimes in a turn of phrase, those of us who follow Jesus will often talk about Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. You ever said that? Heard that? Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, or our King and Savior. But oftentimes, it's so easy to welcome Jesus into our lives as our Savior. You ever recognized your need for a Savior? Like you realize how desperately you can't be the person you want to be without him, or you need forgiveness for something that you just can't seem to find outside of the person of Jesus. And so this idea of Jesus as Savior, that's an easy thing to welcome into our lives. Like you get to the point where you're finally at the end of yourself and you're like, I need a Savior. That's an easy place to get to often when you're left with no other options. And so Christ as Savior, that's important and essential and integral part of our relationship with Christ. So we welcome Christ as our Savior, but we wrestle with making him our Lord. We wrestle with making him our King. Let me say that again. It's easy to welcome Christ as our Savior, but we wrestle with making him our Lord. So let me just talk about the difference between the two of those things. I'll do my typical, like, over here and over here. So Christ as Savior, once again, essential, important. Accepting Christ as our Savior means acknowledging him as the one who saves us from our sin, our selfishness, from our unrighteousness, and from all of its consequences. It's about recognizing our need for redemption, our need for renewal and healing and forgiveness. And it's also recognizing that it all comes as a free gift offered to us from Jesus' death on the cross, his resurrection into new life, by faith through grace. That's Jesus as our Savior. And by the way, if you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, like, we would love to help you do that. We'd love to help you do that. And after the gathering, we're going to have prayer at the piano. And if you're here and you're like, man, I don't even quite know exactly what that means, or maybe you know exactly what it means and you've just been delaying it or waiting, or maybe you want to know more, or you just feel this impulse, this pulling, we would call it the Holy Spirit, and we would love to help you come to know Jesus as your Savior. And the emphasis of that is it's on grace, it's on this unmerited gift of salvation. It's this beautiful, sometimes unbelievable, but often just so desired gift that God can bring us through Christ as our Savior. But then when we start trying to understand Christ as Lord, that's a different kind of situation. Because accepting Christ as your Lord involves submitting your life to his authority. That's what Lord means, right? Lord, king, ruler, they're in charge of a kingdom or a territory. They are the presiding, governing body of an area. And when we make Jesus our Lord, it means that we're submitting our life to his authority. So it goes beyond salvation. It starts with salvation. It starts with Christ as Savior. But he welcomes us into this kind of relationship, to this kind of kingdom that we can be citizens of when we make Christ our King, make him the Lord of our lives. It means that we follow his teachings and guidance in every aspect of our life. It means that we recognize Jesus as the ruler, as the one who sets the standard. And so oftentimes we talk about But Christ is our Savior as gift, a free gift, unmerited grace, beautiful, wonderful, essential part of our relationship with Him. But then over here, this is when we start to talk about obedience, discipleship, about being formed and forged into the way of Christ. Oftentimes, the two words that would maybe summarize these realities is salvation. And then over here, we would talk about sanctification. Shalise talked a lot about it last week as she somehow talked about blue crabs and sanctification, right? Salvation leads us into the kind of relationship where we can be formed into Christ, created anew, sanctified, and made like Him. But making Christ our Lord, it requires an ongoing commitment to live under His authority and follow His teachings, and that's just hard. It's hard. And it's an easy thing to sway from. It's an easy thing to back out of. And this is precisely why the church, for thousands of years, has crafted and curated and created this liturgical calendar. The liturgical calendar is aimed at helping us first recognize our need for a Savior, to receive and accept the unmerited gift of grace through Jesus, but then to daily and weekly and monthly and annually be invited into a life that would remind us to place Jesus at the center and submit to His authority and His lordship. And so our hope is that as we've journeyed over the last year, whether you just dipped into the surface of it or whether you went all in, and there are so many layers to the liturgical year. There's so many layers. In fact, just full confession. In this book, there's daily rhythms, and there's three: morning, afternoon, evening, right? And I did a fairly good job with the morning this year, which was like enough for me to like aim for. The afternoon and the evening, man, I tried it right away, and I was like, maybe next year I'll add the afternoon, and the next year I'll add the evenings. And to be quite honest, maybe this next year I'll just do the afternoons. And then the next year, I'll just do the evenings. And then the next year, I'll do the mornings and the afternoons. And then the next year, the afternoons and the evenings. And then maybe the next year, by then, I'll be formed and forged in a way where that daily stop and read and reflect and pray and listen becomes a natural outflow of my life. But I'm not there yet. Because this work of making Jesus our Lord, submitting to His authority, doing the things He said to do, man, it just takes an ongoing commitment and obedience. But that's what this year, this liturgical year, is really all around. And so I just want to kind of look back a little bit and talk about some of the things that we hope happened in your life in the last year. And if they didn't, that's okay. Because there's a new dawn and a new day, and His mercies are new every morning. And we're at the precipice. We're at the transition of the end of one liturgical year and the beginning of another next week. Now, you might be wondering, are we doing this again as a church? Like, are we starting again on the first page next week? And the answer can be yes. So if you have a copy of this book or you still want a copy and you want to make this a part of your normal discipleship unto Jesus, man, we hope that this works for you and that you take it. We're not going to use it in the same way that we did this last year in that we preached from the week of the text leading up and all that sort of stuff. We're going to do something different in the calendar year, but we will be celebrating Advent and Lent and the major stuff that I'll unpack here in a minute, but we're not going to like bug you every Sunday and be like, did you get common prayer, right? We did that this year. But here's what we hope happened if you engaged with any of this at all. As you engage with whether it's common prayer or just the church liturgical calendar in general, is that at a minimum it helped you reflect on the life of Christ. Like, that's the whole thing. The whole year, the whole annual calendar is built around the different stages and ages of the life of Christ and the work that he did. And so we hope that you gained a deeper understanding of his life, of his teachings, of the miracles, of his sacrificial death and resurrection, of the charge now as the church to go live on mission for him. So we hope that you heard a lot about Jesus, that you read a lot about Jesus. And then we also hope that it created rhythms of worship and devotion in your life. Maybe that was reading the daily morning prayer, or maybe it was just coming to church more regularly or jumping into a community. Maybe it was really getting excited about some of our traditions like communion, and knowing that first Sundays we partake in the Eucharist and the Lord's Supper together, and that's a significant part of you. Maybe it took on new meaning for you in the last year. Or maybe it helped you see seasons as something different. Maybe last year was the first time that you realized Christmas isn't just about getting the right gifts on Black Friday and Small Business Saturday and whatever Sunday is, and then what is Monday? Cyber Monday and all that stuff, right? It's not just about consumerism. It's not just about the right gifts. It's not just about gingerbread, even though gingerbread's awesome. In fact, I normally drink black coffee, and this morning somebody was standing next to me with peppermint mocha in their cup, and I was like, I need some of that. And I got some, and then I made Drew Bear want some as well. So that's the power of the scent of Christmas. But my hope is that maybe in the last year, Christmas took on new meaning. Advent was different and special for you. I hope it also led to community engagement, right? That some of these celebrations and festivals or meals or feasts that offer themselves to us took on new life and meaning for you. And maybe just showing up here in this space helped you engage differently in community. Maybe you said yes to a community group for the first time, yes to leading one or being in one, and I hope that helped form you. We spend a lot of time talking about formation and the spiritual disciplines. Right, we taught different disciplines. We talked about different ways of prayer and different ways of Sabbath has been a major theme for us this year as our three pastors have taken sabbaticals to kind of help reset some of the priorities and rhythms of us as a church. And so you might be wondering, what are we going to do next year? We're going to dig deeper into some of these spiritual practices or spiritual disciplines in the first part of the year. And we really do hope that they help form you and help make Christ king, right? And then last but not least, we hope that it helped align your personal time and priorities. Like, for some of you, it was the first time where you were like, I will wake up at the same time every day to spend time with God, whether it was 2 minutes or 5 minutes, or maybe it changed your commute, right? Maybe you're like, you know what, I'm gonna use that Lectio Divina app or Halo or whatever, and I'm gonna do that on my commute. I know that this had an impact, and I'm gonna just call you out, Nate, because Nate and I work together. Nate's an elder. Nate and Brooke are elders here at our church, and we work together and at the same firehouse, and we have like a Jack and Jill bathroom. And I'll know that even after a hard night getting beat up or whatever, I'll look under the door and I'll see the light on in Nate's room early in the morning. And, you know, sometimes he gets a call or whatever and leaves the door open and I see this book open. And so, Nate, I just, you know, not to like make you super holy, I know you missed a few days, but and then being able to see how this came up in our conversation and how what the Lord is teaching us has shaped our day, right? So that hopefully it aligns your personal time and priorities with Christ. So that's our hope. We hope some of that happened over the last year as we delved into some of this stuff. And if it didn't, it's our invitation. It's our invitation to not just settle. And trust me, accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior, immeasurable, like amazing, incredible. But it's just the beginning. Jesus says that I have come to offer life, life to the full. And what I would proclaim this morning is that the fullness of life in Christ comes when we make him Lord of our life, when we make Christ our King. So I want to quickly walk down memory lane, because sometimes some of these words or things were the first time you heard them. And to be honest, they're the first time we like talked about them or celebrated them as a church. And so I just want to kind of reflect. Remember, next Sunday we're going to start Advent. That's where this year starts. Advent is the four Sundays leading up to Christmas. It's all about the promise of a coming Savior and reflecting on the anticipation and the hope and the promise that God brings us, right? That's Advent. And so we're going to kick that off next week. We're going to continue some of those traditions, the lighting of the Advent candle, the readings, the reflections, and of course, snow and trees and all the other stuff that somehow fits into all of that. This year's a special year. Christmas Eve is on a Sunday. And so we're going to do Christmas Eve gathering just in the morning. Why? Why are we not going to do Christmas Eve night? Because we've learned new rhythms of rest. And so we're going to just do a Christmas Eve gathering here in the morning. And we want you to invite your friends and family. It's going to be a kids show, and it's going to be awesome. And then we're going to take a week off, and we're going to have a Sabbath Sunday. We're going to skip church altogether the following Sunday, which is New Year's Eve, as a proclamation that Jesus invited us to rest. And so we're going to give our staff team a break. We're going to rest. And it's the perfect way to start our next conversation in January around Sabbath. And we're going to do a deep dive into the Sabbath practice. And then what comes after that is the Epiphany. Epiphany is when the wise men showed up to Jesus 12 days after Christmas, January 6th, probably a new day for many of you if you didn't grow up Catholic or Lutheran. But that has themes of good news, of revelation of Jesus to all mankind. Right, showed up to Gentiles, to the Magi, to the wise men. He didn't just come for the Jewish people. And then we stepped into Lent. And Lent is a time of self-reflection, of repentance, of fasting, of practicing disciplines maybe that you've never practiced in their entirety or for a long period of time. And that's 40 days leading up to Easter, starts with Ash Wednesday, and we'll be reflecting that again this in the year to come. And so, I'm rewinding to project. I'm rewinding to help us get some meaning around these things, so that maybe in this year to come, we might grab a hold of them. We might go, you know, I wish I would have done that different. I wish I would have done that better. So, Lent will be an awesome time for us to practice fasting, and be formed in the way of Christ. Then we have the Holy Week, which is the entire week of Jesus entering Jerusalem leading up to Easter, and all the stories and miracles and things that happened there, the subversive nature of the kingdom of God, the way he came in the wrong gate on the wrong kind of war horse, in the upside down kind of kingdom that he came to usher in, which leads to Easter, celebrating the resurrection of Jesus after we've mourned his death on Good Friday. And then 50 days later, Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit to empower and fuel the movement of his body, the church and the world. And then we got into this long season called ordinary time. Ordinary time. I don't know about you, but I've never celebrated anything ordinary. Like, that sounds so boring. Ordinary time. But what ordinary time does is it provides us a long season to practice and to work out and fumble and fail and get up again. Of all of these things that Jesus is inviting us into. To love our neighbor, to turn our cheek, to go the extra mile, to give the shirt off of our own back, to love our enemies, to do all of those incredibly hard things. We have this long season of ordinary times of practicing Christ-likeness. And so I rewind to reflect and to celebrate on the year that we had together and to anticipate and look forward to the new liturgical year we have before us. An invitation to make Christ our King, to submit our lives to His Lordship. So as we wrap up this liturgical year, it's valuable to take inventory of the shoulda, coulda, would-haves, not to shame yourself or beat yourself up, but to maybe just take one step forward in the year to come. To take all of our learnings from the years past and say, you know what, this year I want to be formed in new ways. I want to say yes to maybe one or two or three things that might help me place Jesus at the center and make Him Lord of my life. And we begin again afresh next week. So I want to close by preparing our hearts to celebrate the first coming of Christ, born as an infant, by reflecting on what the Scriptures promise in His second coming. That we would begin with the end in mind. And if you were in the Scriptures this week through common prayer, you literally ended this week with this passage. And so I want to begin our Advent season with the end in mind. Revelation 21. This is the promise. This is what the Scriptures say Christ came to do, to begin and then to complete in His second coming and His return. It says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and He will dwell with them. And they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God, and He will wipe every tear from their eyes. And there will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. And then He said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Would you pray with me? Christ, our King, Lord of all creation, as we center our hearts and minds around these words from Revelation 21, God, we stand in awe of the vision of a new heaven and a new earth. And we're reminded that You are indeed the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the King of kings and Lord of lords. And we pray, Lord, would You help us by the power of Your Holy Spirit submit our lives to You so that we can say, Christ, You are our King. You are my Lord. And so on this Christ the King Sunday, we lift our voices in gratitude for the majestic reign of Christ. And we thank You for the promise of a day when there is no more sorrow or pain or tears, and where all things will be made new. God, Your word assures us that You're making all things right. And we find hope that You've already begun that in each and every one of us. And Lord, that you who have begun a good work will carry it on to completion. And so we anticipate that day. And so, Lord, we go from this place, and may we carry your truth in our hearts. Would you empower us to live as citizens of your kingdom? God, when we make you our king, we become citizens of your kingdom. And so would you empower us to be guided by love, to be advocates for mercy and justice. And Lord, may the knowledge of your sovereignty bring peace to our troubled hearts, and through that, Lord, to our neighborhoods, our families, our city, and to the world. And inspire us, God, to share your good news to everyone that's in need. God, would you make us ambassadors of your kingdom? May we reflect the life and light of Christ. And may we live by the transformative power of your love. It's in your name we pray, Jesus, our Lord and our King. Amen. Amen. Would you stand and worship with us?